Last Lord's Day, we began a vitally important study concerning the question, from where did God come? And we went to the Word of God, of course, for the answer. And we noted that there is one true God, one true Godhead, that is, with three personalities of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And then we noted that God is self-existent. He does not depend on anything or anyone outside himself for his own existence. And then we noted, of course, the answer to the question, from where did God come? He didn't come from anywhere. He has always existed. That is, God is eternal. Note Deuteronomy 33:27 and other passages as well. And then we noted that God is not limited to time. We are, but not God. And we know that God is infinite. Yes, He's infinite in His presence. He is omnipresent. God is not limited to space. Then we noted that God is infinite in His knowledge. He is omniscient. God is not limited in knowledge. He knows all things. Of course, He made all things, and He knows everything about us and everything that He has created. God is infinite in His power, we also noted. That is, He is omnipotent. We're limited, yes, of course, but God is not limited in power. In fact, He is all-powerful. And thus, we ended our study noting that God is eternal. He is not limited to time. He's not limited to space. He's not limited in knowledge, and He is not limited in power. And we want to continue our study of the eternalness of God in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, which we all should know stands for the most important thing that we could be doing, preparing for eternity. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's right here in Martinsville. Yes, sir. We study what in our Bible classes? Well, of course, the Word of God. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're going to strive to do so in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you that you will be very much welcomed. Of course, we appreciate having visitors, so we look forward to having you with us. And we want to mention this, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we really enjoy those opportunities to sit down together and study from God's Word. And if you have questions, comments, positive or negative, please send those to us. Again, the address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151, or our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And let me give you our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Just about forgot it, didn't I? Well, let me give it again. www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There we go. And you'll find our radio sermons there, as well as our bulletin articles and other information. Now, let's get back to our study as we've answered the question, from where did God come? from nowhere. He has always existed. And that is, we can say God is eternal. As we noted, Deuteronomy 33:27 and Psalm 91:2. But as we pick back up with our study, we want to name some more divine characteristics of God. And we'll begin this morning with this one. God is immutable. God, who is self-existent, eternal, and infinite, cannot err, and is eternally the same. That is, he's not going to change. God's nature does not change. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. We need to understand this. God cannot err or change because God has always been and always will be holy, righteous, and gracious. We need to appreciate the grace of God. His wonderful mercy doesn't change, does it? Well, as we are willing to do His will, we'll receive His grace and mercy. But if we refuse to do His will, that's another situation, is it not? Well, it is, as we should all know. Now let's go to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, 25 through 27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. But note, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. That's right. God is eternal, and He is the same with the same nature, divine nature at that. So, again, we want to emphasize this point. The nature of God, which is divine, of course, does not change. Why should it? He's perfect. Now let's go to the New Testament, a passage we should be familiar with, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Yes, God created the heavens. He created the sun, the moon, the stars. Those are the physical lights. But He also provides spiritual and moral light. In Him is no darkness. There's no sin. There's no error. There's no ignorance at all. He dwells in light unapproachable. 1 Timothy 6:16. God is light, as we all should know. And there's no variableness with God. He's constant, dependable, and trustworthy. The sun and moon are going to change position in relationship to the earth hour by hour. I remember as a little fella watching the shadow in the back of the house in the early morning as it was way out there, but then it would start coming towards the house. Yes, they're ever moving and changing. But that's not the situation with God. He's ever steadfast. He's constant. God is immutable. Yes, and we need to appreciate that. Well, since God cannot lie, we can be assured of His promises. But with man, that's not the case all the time, is it? As someone that is trustworthy, we appreciate, but so many are not. But with God, it is impossible for Him to lie, as we should know this. Hebrews 6:17 through 18, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That anchor is the anchor of the soul, is it not? Well, we need to appreciate that God is immutable. That's a divine characteristic of God's nature. But something else we need to appreciate. Again, we're speaking of God's divine nature. And we want to note here in 1 John 4:8, note, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's right, God is love. He's the very essence of love. And the world looks at love in different ways, obviously. Many people say they have fallen in love. Well, that's infatuation. Love, we're speaking of here, is that quality that is only available because God is love. Now, we might ask the same questions as David in Psalm 8, 4 through 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That's right. Now notice Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Those shadows change and pass away, as we noted before. That's the case with our days, isn't it? But something we need to really emphasize, as we are created beings, not evolved beings, oh no, not as so many are falling into that trap of Satan to buy into the hypothesis of evolution. It's certainly not a theory. You can't work with it. There's no facts. It's just man's concept to answer how we came about being here. We're created in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, which means we have the ability to reason, to appreciate beauty, to comprehend, and to have a soul worth more than all the world. That's right. We're created in the image of God. That gives us respectability. Not just by chance being here. And when we reach the age of accountability and we sin, we become separated from God and we are in need of salvation from our sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Romans 6:23. Do we appreciate that? This is the gift that God offers us through His only begotten Son. That's the only way that we could have eternal salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, not many, but one. And God has provided that one way because of His love for us. He's gracious and merciful, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we certainly are to remember John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world. That's agape love. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want us to die in our sins. He wants us to be saved. And he's provided the means that we can be saved. This is what we're emphasizing. God is love. And redemption comes through only Christ, our Lord and Savior. Note Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. It's going to have to be in Christ or one is lost. And of course, there's no one that is worthy of the death of Christ. No one can earn their salvation. Of course not. The greatest person you can imagine on this earth that has not obeyed the gospel is lost in their sins. No matter what accomplishments they've made, they're lost in their sins because God says they are. Not that I'm saying it. Notice Romans 5:6 through 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, there's no other way to be justified outside the blood of Christ, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We cannot be saved outside of Christ. Period. So, do we appreciate the fact that God is love? What does our life say? Have we submitted to the will of God? Or are we all caught up in matters of time and space to the point that we neglect that which is eternal? Why should we allow our minds to be so consumed with all these matters of time and space to the point that we're not even thinking about eternity? In fact, our program, as we have named Preparing for Eternity, is so important for every one of us to ask ourselves this very question. Are we preparing for eternity? Not just the name of a radio program, but are we really doing that? That's what we've got to examine ourselves to be sure that we are submitting to the will of God as we respond to his love, as he is love and he's the essence of it. And there's so much more that could be said about this. Well, let's look at some more scripture here. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Are we preparing for eternity? We're not seeing God with the eyes. We're not seeing the dwelling place of God with our eyes. They're not seen, but they're eternal. And that's what we should be thinking about and preparing for. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, where is our affection? As we're talking about time, space, all the things that we're involved in from day to day, and we get so wrapped up and we read the news and we get upset and we get all wound up with worldliness. Well, I'm going to escape and get out here. But are we leaving out God? Are we going to the worship services and the Bible classes as we should, gospel meetings, lectureships, studying on our own? Think about these questions, all of us. Of course, myself included. It's easy to get caught up in so many things of the world that we forget the most important. Look at the Sermon on the Mount for a moment with me. Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is my heart, Bob Hawkins? Where's your heart? All of us need to ask ourselves that very question. Of course, in Hebrews 12, let's notice verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us not become weary and faint in our minds, but respond to the love of God. We can't do that. We can't respond to the love of God if we're thinking that we know better than God and we're going to make our way in life and find happiness without God. Solomon tried that and failed in every aspect. We don't need to go through that. Study the book of Ecclesiastes. The point is, man should not question God's ways, because God's thoughts and ways are higher than man's ways and thoughts, as we note in Isaiah 55:8-9. And we should know about Romans 11:33. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. We need to note both. God is good. God is gracious and merciful, not willing that any should perish. But he's also just. And that demands punishment when people fail to obey. So, of course, we should love and trust and obey God rather than leaving God out of our lives. We must love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, with all our might, all our strength. Yes, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, did he not? Well, do we or do we not? John 14:15. And we know, as we were mentioning about Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, what conclusion did he come to after he experimented? Chapter 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's right, God knows what we're doing or what we're not doing, how we think. And we are what we think, of course. Should not we love God because He first loved us? 1 John 4:19. So in our study, as we began, answering the question, from where did God come? And as we've seen, of course, God is eternal. He had no beginning, and He'll have no end. And God has revealed His divine nature, and His will has been revealed to man in His all-sufficient, inspired Word. Now, if we don't know the Word of God, whose fault is that? It's mine. It's yours if we haven't done that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. What's lacking? Nothing. Nothing is lacking. It's all sufficient. Of course, the Word of God pertains unto all things, unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. We've studied how God is self-existent and eternal. God is not limited to time or space. God is infinite in knowledge and power. God is immutable and cannot lie, as we studied today. God is love. In fact, God is light. If we had time, we could talk more about that. And God is just, and God is holy, and God is our Creator, the only true God. Let us respond as we should. So a very important question for us to answer is this: how do I respond to God as He is, or as He is perceived to be by others? And finally, how I respond to God will determine how I will stand before Him. The Lord will be our judge in judgment, and I'll either be justified or condemned. It's going to be determined by how I respond to God. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? We stand ready to assist you if you have not, and study with you further. We need to first hear the Word of God, the truth. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior, John 8:24. That motivates us to repent, changing our will and ready to do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. And then, once we've repented of our sins, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins as we come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and He has added us to His body. We thank You so much for listening today.